Brilliant. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see everyone here this morning. And as Alex has already said, it's great having everyone singing God's praises together, everyone worshiping together. And it's great joining as family. The more people you have together, it always feels great. And again, that's why I'll say it now because it wasn't mentioned in notice, and I want to mention every week, one event, that's coming up soon. If you think it's good just meeting with another group of people in this place, how good is it going to be to meet with thousands of people and worship them together and serve together as well? So please, if you're interested in that, speak to half the church. They've been there before. They're going to go again. It's a good time. Make sure you do it. That's the end of my advert for that. Now, this first introduction, it's quite nice having different people here because I was starting by apologising because I keep mentioning the same thing every time I preach. And without fail, every time I preach, I tell people that I am a teacher. Okay? And when I preach, you probably realise I'm a teacher because I keep making you do things. I'm not going to do... Oh, actually, I am. I'm lying. Oh. Sorry. No, but this one especially links to what I teach about because I'm an RE teacher. I teach religion to students. And basically, that involves in year 7 and 8, okay, I teach them an overview of all six major faiths in the world. So we do some Buddhism, some Islam, some Hinduism, some Judaism, okay? And we just go through the basics of everything. Then it gets to GCSE. We study two religions in depth. And now, I am not afraid to tell you that I think some of my GCSE students know more about Christianity than some people who go to church every Sunday. Okay? And that sort of concerns me a bit in some ways. I think, of course they are. They have to learn it. They've got no choice. And I keep telling them they've got no choice. But at the same time, I thought, why don't we learn some of these things? Why don't we go into these details? And especially at the moment, I love teaching my year nines at the moment, because we're in one of the best units in the entire thing, and it's called Matters of Life and Death, which sounds like a great unit. Now, this is where you start getting worried about what I'm going to preach about, because when I tell you that the topics I have to teach in my classroom include abortion, assisted suicide, what happens after we die, okay? I have to teach those subjects in school and explain various different views. And I tell you now, my students don't like me at this time of year. Okay, they like me the rest of the time of the year. They think, yeah, I get on with Sir, I understand where he's coming from. But then all of a sudden, I get into these topics, they just don't understand my views at all. And they think they're abhorrent, they're terrible. How could I think that since I'm such a nice person? Okay, but I'm not going to do a huge sermon on that. But I'm going to do it on the first part of it, because before we get into those big debates about what we think about those huge issues, and I think it's really great that I get to teach those and get students to think about it and actually understand it properly. But there's one thing we start with before we get into all these great ethics, and this question is really simple, is what is life? Okay? Because whatever your answer to that question is going to change your attitude to a whole raft of other things. Okay, does anyone have any great answers to the question, what is life? If anyone says 42, just no. No one? Okay. No, okay. Anyone got any good answers to what is life, or are we all asleep? Gift from God. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Love. Good answer as well. I like that one. So gift from God, love. Okay. That's fine. And then the next question I ask my students, and they come up with family, friends, and everything like that. That's what they normally come up with for life and what it means and what's important in it. Next one is, are humans special? Yeah. Again, my students don't think that. Or they think we might be the top of the food chain, we're more intelligent, we're the best predator, but they don't think we're actually any different to animals, we're just lucky. And then it's what actually makes us different then. What makes us different to all these other animals? And again, their view is just that we've got more intelligence, we're more brainy. Nothing else makes us special. So I wanted to look at this today. I wanted to look at what I teach called the sanctity of life. Okay? Nice phrase, I barely ever hear it in churches, apart from in America, because they have a Human Sanctity of Life Day. Okay, and that's based on, again, this issue of abortion, and based on court proceedings, they've created this Sunday to try and show how valuable they think life is. But to think about life, I think the best place to look is the start. And instead of you listening to me reading from Genesis, I've put a quick video on there of the Bible Experience. Okay, if you've not heard the Bible Experience before, it's great. It's professional actors narrating through the Bible with nice backing sounds and things like that. So I just wanted just to listen to the story. The screen will be on with a picture, but it just says that it's reading from Genesis. So maybe you want to close your eyes and just listen to the words and just think about what's going on in this story as we listen to it.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures, according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.
So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them,
be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
Then God said,
I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food.
And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man,
you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die.
The Lord God said,
It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.
Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he...
Okay, so I love this part of the Bible. It's one of my favorite parts of the Bible, which is a strange thing to say because it's not many people's favorite part of the Bible. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's the part of the Bible people try and ignore maybe isn't really there because it's too hard work to try and actually explain what's going on. Okay, because there's so much there and so much that can be debated, studied, you can chew over. And it is a bit of a recipe for disaster, and it has been through history because people have disagreed about what it actually means and they've been shouting at each other. People have thought less of people for their opinion. If they believe that, you're obviously stupid. Okay, how could you believe that? There's scientific evidence proving everything else happened. And I am fairly sure that in this room here, there are some people who think that is exactly what happened, some people who think it's kind of like that, but kind of not. And there's also some people who think it wasn't really that at all, but there's something else. Okay, and I like that. And that's something you need to hear this morning. That's one thing we said at our house group the other week as well. I like people who disagree with each other. Okay, there are some things as Christians we can't disagree with each other on. Okay, Jesus is God. He died and rose again to save us from our sins and will return again. Okay, that is Christianity. The rest of it, we're all on a journey together trying to figure out. And actually, it's hard work. And I did a dissertation on this. I did 8,000 words on it. And it was about things that you don't even think about when you first read it anyway. Okay? But the great thing about this story is I'm not going to go into a huge debate of whether we've got a literal 6 days or it's evolution theory. Because honestly, I don't particularly care that much. Okay? What I really care about with this story is something else that I want to draw from it. Some of the truths that we can find in it that I hope that we'll all agree on. Okay, regardless of how else we interpret this story, these things are going to be true. And the great thing about these are, it doesn't matter who you are as well, it's still going to be true. It doesn't matter what you've done, it's still going to be true. And it doesn't even matter how you feel about yourself. What I see from this story is still true, and there's no getting away from it. And the first thing is God is the giver of life. Okay, regardless of what you think, we believe God gave that life. Okay, in the passage, it's the first thing we see. Okay, God gives life to every creation. Okay, so one of the questions I ask my students is, what makes humans different? And they say that, well, God made them. Well, God made everything. That doesn't make us special that God made us, because God made everything. But it shows that he's in control of everything. He's responsible for the way the world was made and the way it works and the way it functions. God is in control. In Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time for everything, a time to be born and a time to die. And that's God's control. When it comes to the creation of humans specifically, because that's what I'm really interested in, we see something completely different. The rest of them, it's just God speaks. He made all these animals. He made the birds. He filled the skies. He filled the waters. Then all of a sudden, now, we're coming to the main bit. We're coming to the creation of humans. In Genesis 1, verse 27, it says that we're made in the image of God. Okay? And it goes on a bit longer than that as well, just for those people as well. It says he made us male and female in the image of God. There's not one of us in the image and one of us not in the image. There's not one of us more important, one of us less important. We're both in the image of God. We both reflect what God is like. We have a special place in creation. We're different to other animals, not because we're more intelligent or just because we happen to be at the top of the food chain, but because we're made to reflect God. We have the breath of God in us. He forms us from dust. Without God, we're just dust. With God, we're living, breathing, and we have our life. That's the first obvious truth, I think, for all of us today. God made us. God made everything. Okay? The second bit that I see when I look at this is that life isn't just, we didn't just get it, it just happened by an accident either. God wasn't just thinking one day and accidentally created everything, okay? He didn't just make humans as special for any other reason, but it's a gift, okay? Life is not only made by God, but life is a gift from God, okay? We have the opportunity to walk and talk and be with God, the ultimate, okay? And as it's a gift, well, what do? If you get a nice gift off someone? Do you just put it in a cupboard and never look at it? Do you put it somewhere where you're going to use it often? Do you treat it with care and respect when you've been given a good gift? Because we know all gifts from God are good. Okay? It's not like in The Simpsons where Homer buys Marge a bowling ball. Okay? Because he wants to bowl. Okay? God isn't doing it selfishly. He isn't creating humans because he wants a whole bunch of people just to stand there worshiping him for the entirety of creation. He's not that self-serving. That isn't what God is. He gave us a gift of life for our benefit, not for his. And the best thing about this gift is, with the creation story or whenever you look at any of the theories of how the world came about, humans are that pinnacle, okay? God made sure everything was ready. Okay, in the first part of Genesis, it goes through the 5 days of creation first. And then on six, once everything's in place, everything's ready. Okay, now it's time for my special creation to go there. Everything's ready for them. When it starts in chapter 2, again it says that he formed the man from dust of the ground, breathed breath of life. Then he put him into that garden. He's like, look what I've made for you. Here it is. Okay, I'm going to walk and talk with you. Here's the tree of life that you can eat from freely. Okay, and the greatest gift he gave us was we had a choice. We had free will. We could choose whatever we wanted to do. Again, it's not God being self-serving. He was being self-serving. He created a bunch of robots that had to serve him and say how great he is all the time. That's not what he wanted for us. With this gift as well, I like thinking of Ephesians 2. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's one of my favorite verses because it's so great. It's so concise. Okay? And the first bit says, we are God's workmanship. Okay? We are God's artwork. We are God's masterpiece, is another way of translating that. He didn't make an accident with any single person in here. There was a plan for that. That was the gift of life that God gave to you. You are his artwork. He spent time crafting and creating you. And then the second half of that verse moves on to the third thing that I can see from this story. It says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Okay? The third bit, and this is the hardest bit for some of us to hear, that our life has a purpose. A God-given purpose, not just a purpose that we're told all the way through from birth up to when you're 18 and you leave school. That your purpose is to get good grades so you can get a good job, earn money, and then have children who then get good grades, get a good job, earn money, and just carry on this endless cycle of just being stressed out. Okay? And I'm one of those people who I am very stressed at the moment with school and everything like that. Life is so stressful. But at least I know that isn't my purpose. Okay? That's something I do, and it is part of God's plan for me. But that isn't my purpose. And when we're looking at purpose, I did want to read a chunk of the Bible together because, again, I love this part and it just has so many messages. And it's Psalm 139. Okay? So if you have a Bible, please turn and have a read along with this. Okay? So it says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I'm just going to read that one again. I praise you because each of us here is fearfully and wonderfully made, and God's works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. I just love how encouraging that is. That God knows everything about us. But not only does he know everything about us, he made us for a purpose. That verse, he knit you together in your mother's womb. I always like the idea of human skin, because your skin is actually like a woven pattern that makes it so strong, so if you've got the same sort of quantity of steel and skin, they'd be about as strong as each other because of that woven together nature of our skin. So it isn't just a random metaphor there. It is actually, well, he did weave our skin together while we were there. God has meant for each of us, okay? Sometimes we think, well, why am I here? What's the point? Okay, I'm not that important. I'm not that great. That person up there is better. That person I keep seeing on TV, they're better than me. They've got a better life from me. Or even in Christianity, it's when you get a guest speaker to come in and speak to you. Well, that's what God wants. He's God's favorite there. That's why everyone's following him, because he's got such a great story. And you put yourself down. Think, well, that's not me. I'm not as important. I'm not as valuable. But that's not what this says. That's not what the Bible teaches us. That's not what the story of Christianity is. The story is that God intimately knows each and every person. He created each and every person for a purpose, for a good purpose. And a simple fact from this is then, when we think that life is from God, it's a gift from God, and it has a purpose, all life is important and shouldn't be wasted. It should be valued. And that's a challenge in two ways. Do you value your life? Are you wasting your life? Are you valuing other people's lives, regardless of who they are, what they've done, what they've said to you? Do you still value that person's life? Or do you take away the value when they do something? Well, they lied to me. I don't like them anymore. They're not important anymore. They committed this murder. Well, they're not important. They're not part of God's plan. We need to lock them away. We need to get rid of them. Okay? Or maybe even they've done a horrible crime. We need to kill them. We need to get rid of them completely. And it always reminds me again of that passage in Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I know he's talking direct to Jeremiah there, but it's the same for each and every one of us. So as we carry on thinking about this, I was just thinking in my head, because that's as far as I get in schools, without going into as much detail, of course. I tell them those three things, that Christians believe life's from God, it's a gift, and there's a plan. But when I was thinking, I just thought, it doesn't stop in Genesis, that. That's the great thing about this. God didn't just do it all at the start and think, that's it, I'm done with it. That's it, you get on with your own ways, and whatever you do, you get done. So that's where it's almost like a six-part sermon, this. But we're going to come to the second group of three now. I said that God gives life, But the great news for us today is God just doesn't give life once. He gives us life over and over again. He gives us new life. He washes away the old and gives us new. When we celebrate baptism together, that's what we're remembering. That actually, with Jesus, we can die to our old self. All those things that we might be ashamed of, feel worried about, feel upset about, feel sorry for. God wants to take those and give us new life. But again, that new life isn't just the same as well. It's not just the same as everyone else's life. In John 10, it says that God has come to give us life and life to the full. In John 3:16, okay, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. God sent his Son so that we could have life. We already had life here, but that wasn't enough. He said, no, I want you to have life to its max, life to the full. And that's the same as when we think about God giving gifts. He doesn't just give one gift. He didn't just give us the gift of life. And he didn't even give us the gift of life once. And I'm fairly sure my references, I didn't even bother looking up. I think it's Hebrews 9:27. It might be in Hebrews 3 instead, but it's in Hebrews. Okay? It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Okay? The wages are things you pay. Okay? That's money that's owed. Okay? We've done lots of things wrong. We owe everything. But God gave again. It's like, no, it's all right. Don't worry. I'm going to give you the gift of life again. Okay? You don't have to do anything. I just want you to have it. But it's the same with any gift. You don't have to take it off them if you don't want. You can ignore the fact you've got a gift waiting, unwrapped. Or you can choose to open up and use it. And then the third thing that I've put is, when I said we've got a purpose, the great thing is our purpose doesn't end with this life. We weren't created for an earthly purpose. Okay? That was part of our story. But we're created for the best destiny possible. Our purpose is to be with God. That's why we were created. We were created to be with God for eternity. So when we're thinking about human life, and those things about it, just for me, it just tells me life is valuable. Okay? Life is valuable. And that's why my students just can't understand when I talk about people who are suffering, should they be allowed to end their own life? Well, I don't think so. Life is valuable. God isn't finished, as we heard earlier, no matter what your situation. God isn't finished. Okay, I'm not going to go into a huge debate on abortion, but again, what I say to my students, they don't agree with me. Well, I think life's valuable. No matter what life, no matter what the circumstances of that life, I think life is valuable. So that's what I base my beliefs on. And especially so for me and Alex as well. You know that we went through 3-4 years of trying before we could have Erin. I know life is special. It's a gift. It's not something to be thrown away, wasted. But then again, I came to the same point again. This is what I want to challenge us in before we have communion together. What about our life? What are we doing that shows we value it? Or actually, are there things that we're doing that show we're not really valuing it? And this is where my extreme religious views, okay, come into play again. I feel guilty when I don't regularly exercise. I'm not saying that everyone has to exercise. Don't get me down this route, please. But I'm just saying, like for me personally, I think, well, I want to do something. I want to make sure I'm looking after myself. Okay? I want to make sure I'm using this gift for good. I want to make sure that God's given me all these skills. I want to use them. But at the same time, and I listened to a great thing that I am hopeful because I know God made this and I've got hope for the future. But when you have hope, it often leads to having some doubts and some fears as well. So I know God has a purpose for me. But what happens if I don't do it right? What happens if I mess up? Oh, just that person who's better. And I always say it's strange, and I know it's strange, but come from me. And I've said it to people before. Like, I've got hang-ups on things like where I think, well, oh, they don't like me. That person doesn't value me. Okay? If we choose CDs one Sunday, every now and then I think, oh, they just don't think I'm a good piano player. And honestly, it sounds silly, doesn't it? But that thought does come in sometimes. Okay? Oh, why have they not let me do it? Well, why have they chosen someone else to play the piano instead of me? I'm the best, surely, and surely that means that they think they're better. And this is what I mean, these doubts, these voices come into our head telling us we're not good enough, we're not valuable. And that's why it's great to see so many people here this morning. It's great to be reminded that we are all valuable, that life is valuable, that life has a purpose. And no matter what we try and convince ourselves, we just need to look to God for the truth. Because that's the only person who's ever going to be fully truthful all the time with us. And the great thing about God's truth, it's not those people who say, yeah, I need to tell you because I'm being truthful here, you smell. Okay? That's not what God's truth is like. Okay? God's truth is, I want to tell you, I need to be honest with you, you're awesome. Okay? It might be every now and then, you're not doing things the way I want you to. But it's always because you can do so much better. So again, I'll close now just as we come to communion, because I think communion's a great place to end with this. Because communion's about receiving God. And again, in the Bible, it says that we as a church are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body, our church body together, we've got God living inside us. We've got God with us. He's always present. So as we come to share together, so while we're eating and drinking together, I just want you to think about that sacrifice that God gave, that gift of life that God gave. That purpose that we have to be with Him for eternity. And also that challenge in our life. What can we do to show that we do value our life? Are there any areas that we need to just change, transform? Is there any areas where we've got too many doubts, where we need to just focus on the truth of God rather than the ramblings of our doubts and fears? So let's pray before we come together. So Father, I just thank you that you give life, Lord. Thank you, Father, for each and every life here, Lord. I just thank you that even personally I've been touched by so many people's lives in this room, they've become intertwined. Thank you, Father, that you value each and every one of us, that there is no such thing as an accident. There's no such thing as a mistake. But Lord, you created us. You knit us together. You have a purpose for us, Lord. That you walk with us each and every step of our lives, whether we acknowledge it or not, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that you came and died so that we could have life to the full. Amen.